I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear reports from Dan Novak and John Russell. Later, Anna Mateo and Katie Weaver present the next part in our early literacy series. Finally, we explore Arkansas's Hot Springs National Park. But first, here is Dan Novak.
Labor unions for actors and writers are striking over pay, benefits, and job protections. But artificial intelligence technology has become a big issue in Hollywood's labor fight. AI has introduced a new point of disagreement between artists and production companies. Here is a look at what both sides say they want. With AI, star actors fear they will lose control of their likenesses. Unknown actors fear they will be replaced altogether. Writers fear they will have to share credit with or lose credit to machines. The proposed contract, which the two sides have been attempting to negotiate, is to last only 3 years. Even at the speed at which AI technology is developing, it is unlikely there would be a large displacement of writers or actors within that period of time. But unions and employers know that if they compromise on an issue, it will be harder to get what they want in the next set of negotiations. New technology is important to filmmaking. AI has been used to make actors look younger, like Harrison Ford in the recent film Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. All sides in the strike know that use of new technology will continue to increase. That is why both sides are looking to establish legal and creative control. Actors in the labor discussions are represented by the Screen Actors Guild American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or SAG-AFTRA, the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, AMPTP, represents the production companies, which are the employers. The strike started on July 13th. SAG-AFTRA released an opinion of the studio's position on the use of AI and their images. The group said the production companies want to scan a background performer's image, pay them for half a day's labor, and then use an individual's likeness for any purpose forever without their consent. The union also said employers want to be able to make changes to dialogue and even create new scenes without informed consent. The AMPTP said in a statement that its offers included an AI proposal which protects performers' digital likenesses, including a requirement for performers' consent for the creation of a performance. SAG-AFTRA said it wants to protect human-created work, including changes to the voice, likeness, or performance of an actor. Observers say that voice comes first on that list for a reason. AI voice technology might be more developed than visual technology. For example, the voices of the late Anthony Bourdain and the late Andy Warhol have both been recreated for recent films. During the writers' contract talks, which broke down in early May, the Writers Guild of America or WGA, said it did not oppose the use of AI, but AI should only be used as a tool to use in a writer's own work. The union said writers might be willing to shape stories with help from AI software, but they did not want it to affect the credits that influence their position and pay. The WGA wants to prevent entirely AI-created stories or dialogue from being considered literary material. This means they would not be competing with computers for credit. The AMPTP said in a document explaining its position that writers want to be able to use this technology as part of their creative process without changing how credits are determined, which is complicated given AI material can't be copyrighted. Only a person can be considered a writer, the AMPTP added. AI-generated material would not be eligible for writing credit. This position could calm writers' worries about sharing credit with AI, but it could also lead to no one getting credit when they use AI. Modern movie writing contracts are very complex and hard to understand. So is the question of who receives credit for the work. Observers say adding AI makes the problem even more difficult. I'm Dan Novak.
Agricultural emissions are getting more attention from U.S. officials, researchers, and industry professionals. One big area of debate is the link between carbon storage and carbon markets. Last week, the United States Department of Agriculture, or USDA, announced a $300 million investment to monitor agricultural emissions. The investment will help create a research group to monitor carbon levels in soil. American lawmakers also proposed a measure to support research needed to properly credit soil carbon storage. The USDA announcement and the law are both aimed at the difficult question of how to measure carbon stored in soil. The issue is important if the young soil carbon market is to avoid the opposition directed at current carbon credit markets. The Congressional Research Services describes a carbon market as an economic idea that supports the buying and selling of environmental commodities that signify GHG, greenhouse gas, emission reductions, or storage. The general idea is that some kinds of farming methods can support carbon storage. As a result, some farmers can get money in the form of carbon offsets, payments that companies can make that support carbon storage in farms. Shalimar Armstrong is an associate professor at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. The more carbon you store from the atmosphere with your crops, and the more crops grown throughout the year, you offset some of your waste, he said. The carbon that was stored would have instead been released into the atmosphere, he explained. But much about carbon storage remains unknown. The science piece of carbon credits has really lagged behind, particularly when it comes to things like monitoring, reporting, and verification, said Crystal Zobisch, a policy director at climate organization Carbon 180. Armstrong has been trying to fix the problem of measuring carbon storage. He runs a lab where researchers are investigating how farming method affects the amount of carbon in soil across different kinds of land. He and others at Purdue have been studying soil samples that date back more than 40 years. He hopes his findings will help farmers make decisions that could result in earnings from storing carbon and without losing any crop profit. But other experts worry that even if farmers do get paid for storing soil carbon, bigger issues remain. Carbon offsets in the U.S. have to meet four conditions. They have to store carbon that would otherwise be released. The offsets also have to be verifiable in data, immediate, and long-lasting, said John Sturman, a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Carbon storage research might make the offsets more verifiable, but such research does not deal with other problems. For example, many American farmers do not own the land on which they grow crops. As a result, these farmers cannot guarantee that carbon stored on their land will stay in place if someone else works the same property. Barbara Haya of the Berkeley Carbon Trading Project at University of California, Berkeley, says the research she has worked on shows that the effects of carbon offset projects are commonly overestimated. Carbon trading has, in her words, failed miserably over the last 20 years. She advises moving away from the process. Jared Huffman, a lawmaker in the U.S. House of Representatives, last month proposed a bill to support farmers in making improvements to soil health. He said farmers in the area he represents would be interested in entering carbon markets with strong accounting systems. But he added that those hoping for serious climate action should not depend only on offsets. I'm John Russell.
Words are all around us, and not just in books. Students need to know that words have meaning. Educators call this print awareness. At this early stage, surround learners with English words and sounds. Experts say that students who cannot read in their own language may not understand some literacy ideas. They need to be taught about the functions of print.
Teaching tips for print awareness. Bring in common items with written language, both the home language and English. Bring in calendars, food packages, magazines, mail, maps, and newspapers. Talk about these items. Compare English words with words from the home language. Create fun activities with the items. For example, as an art project, students can make a birthday card for a friend or family member. They could also make their own food product and make packaging for it.
Post words in your classroom. Label common objects in the classroom. Post words to songs and poems. Post the names and birthdays of students in the classroom. Hang colorful posters with English words on the walls. Read often to your class. Read books that fit the age and English level of your students. Repeat simple and useful sentences and words. Have limited text on a page with pictures explaining the text. Have active stories.
Make reading aloud fun and active. Ask questions about the story. Talk about important words or ideas, but do not stop too often. Students may lose interest in the story. Use fun voices, facial expressions, music, objects, and pictures to make the story come to life. Make connections to real life. Ask them, "Has this happened to you?" Have students retell the story or change the story somehow.
Teach the parts of a book and different types of books. As you read to your students, teach the parts of a book. Talk about different types of books. Explain the purpose of a book's title and where it is found. Point out the names of the author and illustrator. Explain their jobs. Show students the page numbers. Explain why pages are numbered. Use many different books, such as comics and picture books.
Talk about different parts of the story. Who is the story about? Who are the characters? Where does the study take place? The setting. Talk about the problem and the solution. How do characters fix the problem?
Teach punctuation when you read with your students. Point out periods, exclamation points, and question marks. Explain what they do. Show how punctuation changes the meaning of a sentence. Read a sentence with a period and then with an exclamation point. With excitement.
Assessment for print awareness. Early learners may not have print awareness. To assess or test for print awareness, give a student a book and ask questions. Here are some examples.
Where is the title of the book? Can you show me the author's name? Where does the story begin? Can you show me a letter, a word, a sentence?
Can you find the first and last words of a sentence? Can you show me a punctuation mark? What does a question mark do? Can you show me a capital letter? Can you show me a lowercase letter?
Use the tips, strategies, and assessment methods that best serve you and your learners.
Change methods to fit your students' abilities and the teaching situation. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
Just heard Anna Mateo and Katie Weaver present the next part of our early literacy series. Katie joins me now to talk about some of the vocabulary you heard in the report. Hi, Katie. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ashley. Glad to be back.
So let's talk about a few words we just heard that are not in the VOA Learning English word book. The first one is poster. This is a noun meaning a large sign or picture that is designed to get people's attention. But that is not the only definition of poster.
Nope, it's not. That was what the word meant for this story. But a poster can also be the person that posts such a sign, or poster.
And we often use the verb post, not just for hanging up a sign or poster, but also as a verb to mean publishing online content or messages.
Right. We use poster as a subject of a sentence, mainly when we are talking about someone posting online content.
The other word that deserves a little time is character. The way it was used in your report, it means a person in a story, play, or movie. But another definition of character is a bit more complex.
Character can also refer to the mental and moral qualities singular to an individual. You can have a good character, a strong character, a dark character, etc. It is kind of like personality, but sort of a deeper part of you. It is also used in describing the collective qualities of a nation or an organization, like a school, company, or sports team.
Character also means the mark of a printed or written letter or symbol. We did a story recently about Meta's social media site, Threads. In it, we discussed the character limit that a Threads post can have.
Character itself requires 9 characters, by the way.
Good job counting those letters, Katie. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you, Ashley. My pleasure.
Sometimes a visit to a national park means hiking rugged trails and climbing high mountains. Other times, it means crawling through caves or rafting down a wild river. But we want to take it easier. So we head south to the state of Arkansas. It is home to a national park that is perfect for resting and renewing a tired body. Visitors treat themselves to one of its natural thermal baths. Humans have been enjoying the warm waters for thousands of years. Welcome to Hot Springs National Park.
Most national parks are far from cities and industry, but Hot Springs is different. It covers more than 2,200 hectares in and around the city of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Congress approved special protection of the area in 1832. Known unofficially as America's Spa, it became a national park in 1921. The park's geothermal springs and other resources have long been used for therapeutic bathing. The average temperature of the hot springs is 61 degrees Celsius. The thermal mineral waters reportedly help ease many health problems, including arthritis and rheumatism. The springs emerge along the western edge of Hot Springs Mountain. Scientists say the hot springs are made of rainwater that fell in the hot springs area thousands of years ago. The rainwater slowly dripped down to the Earth's crust. When water rises back up to the surface quickly and does not have a chance to cool, hot springs form.
Hot Springs National Park's early bathhouses were simple structures.
They were made of canvas and lumber. They were built right over some of the natural springs. Later, businessmen built more complex wooden structures. But those structures were frequently damaged by fires and from exposure to water and steam. Beginning in the early 1900s, stone, stucco, and brick structures replaced the wooden bathhouse buildings. These large and much more elaborate structures still stand today along what is known as Bathhouse Row. These bathhouses were built along the eastern bank of Hot Springs Creek. The hot water from the hillside springs flows down a system of wooden troughs and into the buildings.
Each spring was said to help cure different kinds of conditions. Some of the early names referred to their chemical properties. Others were named after the part of the body that its waters could best help. There was once a spring called Kidney, and another named Liver. 8 buildings line Bathhouse Row today. They are very large. Many of them are 3 levels. But most of them no longer offer therapeutic water treatments. Instead, they house park shops and the visitor's center. But one has remained open for more than 100 years. The Buckstaff Bathhouse has operated continuously since 1912. It is one of the best preserved bathhouses within Hot Springs National Park. Visitors today can enjoy traditional thermal mineral baths. The baths are different temperatures and have different properties.
Another bathhouse offers a more modern spa experience. Quapaw Baths and Spa also sits along Bathhouse Row. It was renovated and reopened in 2007 on Hot Springs' 175th anniversary. When you are done with your relaxing bath, there is still more to enjoy at Hot Springs National Park. Visitors can hike along the more than 43 kilometers of trails in the park. You will find unusual rock formations and views of the surrounding rolling hills. The landscape provides evidence of the area's hot spring history. On the Tufa Terrace Trail, you will see huge deposits of tufa, created by the flowing springs over thousands of years. Tufa is a kind of rock shaped by water.
But you do not have to hike to see the sights. There are beautiful mountain roads to drive as well. However you explore Hot Springs National Park, you can't help but relax. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.